Right, let's stay right there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to read a couple of these verses over. If you look at verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." The word gospel, as you know, means good news. "I declare unto you the good news, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand." The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, the scripture tells us. It's the power of God. And so if anyone receives it and stands in it, stands firm in it, we give glory to God. We don't give glory to the person. We give glory to God. We attribute it to God's power, God's goodness, God's grace, God's mercy in Christ. And he says, "By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain." There are some who claim to believe this gospel, but they believe in vain. And what's the difference? Well, the difference is the grace of God. But he says, if you keep in memory, that literally means to hold fast. The gospel is a message of complete salvation, all conditioned on and accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ in his obedience unto death as the surety, the substitute, the redeemer, and the preserver of his people. And so those who claim to believe the true gospel, now we need to understand this now. Not everybody who claims to believe the gospel believes the true gospel. There are false gospels. The Bible teaches that, shows us that. There are perversions of the truth. There are counterfeits. And so we're not talking about them. We're talking about those who profess to believe the true gospel, and then they don't stand fast. They don't keep on. And of course, we know that God, if we're truly saved, he preserves his people unto glory. And those who leave it or apostatize, as the scripture says, from it, they never believed it to begin with. And when Paul says, if you keep in memory, if you stand fast, again, I always make this distinction because it's so important, especially in light of today's majority heresy, is the if there is not conditional, it's evidential. If you keep in memory, if you believe, you claim to believe the gospel and you stay there, it's by the power and grace of God, and that's evidence that you've been saved by grace. You'll be saved by grace, kept by grace, and you'll be glorified by grace in Christ. And if you don't, believed in vain. That's what he says. Now look at verses 3 and 4. He says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." Verse 4, "that he was buried and that he arose again the third day according to the scriptures." I'll never forget this. It's when I first moved to Albany back in 1985. I was preaching on what is the gospel, from Romans 1, 16 and 17 mainly, where Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation." And I was making the points of how the true gospel, taken in light of the revelation of our sinfulness and our depravity, shows how God can be both a just God and a Savior and save us through his grace, through Christ, the righteousness of God. And I was showing how all that, and there was a lady that was there, she was visiting, it was just her first time being here, and as she was going out the door, she said, "I thought the gospel was the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ." And this is where she gets that from. And often you'll hear people say the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. In other words, it's just the preaching of his death, he died for our sins, his burial, he was buried, and that he arose again the third day. And I told her this. I said, "Well, those historical facts are included in the gospel as I just preached. But the Bible says more than just Christ died for our sins. and that he was buried, and that he arose again. And the key phrase here on that issue in verses 3 and 4 is the phrase, according to the Scriptures. Now, the Scriptures certainly say that Christ died for our sins. That's according to the Scriptures. But is that all it says? The Scriptures say that he was buried and he arose again the third day. But is that all that it says? Oh, no, it says a lot more than that, doesn't it? It says something about why he died for our sins. It says something about God's plan and purpose from the foundation of the Bible. This is the Scriptures now. This, you know, somebody said, well, you're just complicating it. Well, I got news for you. I didn't write this. This book was not authored by Bill Parker. The Scriptures. What is the Scripture? That's the written Word of God. The Bible says something about who it is that died. Who is Jesus? It's not just that Christ died. A particular person died. And who is he? Well, the Bible says he's God manifest in the flesh. Now, do you know anybody who claims to be a Christian who denies either one of those truths? His deity or his humanity? I do. There's a whole denomination, Jehovah's Witnesses. They deny his deity. But they'll tell you Christ died for their sins. You see what I'm saying? They deny the true Christ. And then the Scriptures tell us that he died according to the will of God for the sins of a people that were given to him before the foundation of the world. That's what the Scriptures say. Somebody says, well, you're saying everybody has to know everything and have their own. I'm just telling you what the Scriptures say. Who it is, why he died. He died to establish the righteousness of God. Most people who claim to be Christian, they don't even know what that is. The justice of God. The righteousness of God. False Christianity is that which denies either the glorious person of Christ and or denies or diminishes the death of Christ, the finished work of Christ. What did he accomplish? Do the Scriptures say anything about that? About what Christ accomplished? Many people today, they believe in a Christ who died to make it possible for you to be saved if you'll do your part. If you will just fan that spark of goodness within and let it come out in your faith. Now my question, is that what the Scriptures teach? The answer is no. Scriptures teach that man's dead and trespasses and sins, and if left to himself, he will not choose Christ. False Christianity claims that Christ died for all without exception, even for those who perish. Now my question is this. Is that the justice of God revealed in the gospel? And the answer is no, according to the Scriptures. Our text says that he died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Well, do the Scriptures say that he died for the sins of every individual without exception, even those who perish? And the answer is no, it does not say that. If Christ died on the cross for my sins. Now that's the title of the message. If Christ died for me. When you look at that passage and you say, it says Christ died for our sins. Does the hour there, does it include me? That's what I want to know. How about you? Am I in that hour? Well, if that means everybody without exception, I would be included. But even for those who perish, where does that leave me? Where does that tell me to go? If the hour there is everybody without exception, and even for those who perish eternally, where do I have to go? I'll tell you exactly where I have to go. Right here. It's up to me. It's my choice. Now, do the Scriptures teach that? The answer is no. So here's what I want to do. I want to give you several things here. If Christ died for me, then there are several things that the Scriptures say about me that I cannot deny if I'm going to believe the Scriptures. So if Christ died for me, what does God's Word say about me? If He died for me, all right, here's what it says. Number one, if Christ died for me, then it tells me that I'm a sinner who cannot save myself. I need salvation if He died for me. And what did He die for? My sins. I'm a sinner. I fell in Adam into a state of sin and death. That's what the Scriptures say. And I'm born spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. And in myself, I have no capacity spiritually to make the right choice. If Christ died for me, that's what the Scripture says. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. All who have received Him have received Him because they've been born again. Romans 5 and verse 8, we read it. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Matthew 1:21 says, His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. So if Christ died for me, I'm a sinner who cannot save myself. My works will not save me, and my choice will not save me. If Christ died for me. Number two. If Christ died for me, according to the Scriptures, then it tells me that God chose me before the world began. Appointed Christ to be my surety. Charged my entire sin debt to Christ. Think about it. That's what the Scripture says. Listen to this in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17. Wherefore in all things it behooved Him. What does that mean? It means that He was obligated to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. What is it to make reconciliation for the sins of the people? It means their sins are all taken away. Isaiah 53 and verse 4, surely He hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. This is a message. This is a fact that was set up before this world ever began. Paul spoke of it in 2 Timothy 1, of salvation which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. See, if Christ died for me, the Bible tells me, the Scriptures tell me that God chose me before the foundation of the world. And it wasn't based upon anything He foresaw that I would do or would not do. It was totally His free, sovereign choice. Paul wrote of it. Peter wrote of it. John wrote of it. The Old Testament is full of it. Think about it. It's not of him that runneth, it's not of him that willeth, but of God that showeth mercy. That's what the Scriptures say about me. Here's the third thing. Now listen to this. The Bible tells me, the Scriptures tell me, that if Christ died for me, God cannot and will not charge my sins to me or condemn me for them. That's what the Scriptures teach. Romans 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of those who elected God? I saw some furrowed brows there. And you know why? Because I misquoted that, didn't I? That's not what it said. It doesn't say who shall lay anything to the charge of those who elected God. It says who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect. Whom God chose. That's what the Scriptures say. It is God that justifieth. Now what does that tell you? God justified his elect. And therefore, they cannot be condemned. Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. If Christ died for me, God has justified me. He cannot charge my sins to me. He cannot condemn me. And Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for me. But let me go on to the fourth thing. It's related right here. If Christ died for me, God has imputed the righteousness of Christ to me for my justification. God cannot impute my sins to me. He cannot charge me with sin. They've been taken away. He'll remember them no more. He will not lay them to my charge. He will not bring up them on record. They're not on record. They've been erased. They've been erased by the blood of the Lamb of God. My name was written in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. That Lamb slain, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. He was charged with my sins. He was made sin for me. And I'm made righteous in him. What is it to be justified? It means to be forgiven on a just ground. And what is that just ground? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. But the world will say, well, that's no good unless you seal the deal. Unless you make the choice. No. Forgiveness is forgiveness in God's sight. God would be unjust to send any sinner to hell for whom Christ died. That's what the scriptures teach. The gospel is the revelation of the righteousness of God. But see, to be justified means that I'm declared righteous in the sight of God. Do the scriptures declare that? Romans 4:6. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. And David testified of that over in Psalm 32 when he said, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You understand that? If Christ died for me, he put my sins away. He purged me from all my sins. And God cannot condemn a sinner for whom Christ died. That's what the scriptures say. He died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried and arose again according to the scriptures. Here's the fifth thing. If Christ died for me, then by his death on the cross, Christ paid the full redemption price for me and secured my salvation. The price is paid. Redemption is finished, redeemed. Oh, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. There's no more price to be paid. There's no more offering for sin, Hebrews 10 tells us. For by one offering, he hath perfected, completed, finished forever them that are sanctified, those whom God set apart and gave to him. One offering. By his one act, he purged our sins. The price has been paid. Salvation is secure. Christ said in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. By his death on the cross, he completed it. Let me show you another one. Here's the sixth thing. If Christ died for me, God will, without fail, at his appointed time, bring me under the preaching of the gospel. Give me spiritual life in the new birth and bring me to faith in Christ and repentance of dead works. If he died for me, I will be born again. I will hear and believe the gospel by the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, the Greek also, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Listen to this. This is Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God's appointed time. Now, when did God appoint this time? Now, think about that. According to the scriptures, before this world was ever created, God appointed this time. And what did he do? He sent forth his son. That's the deity of Christ, the second person of the Trinity. Made of a woman. That's his sinless humanity. Made under the law. That's his responsibility for the salvation of his people. He had to satisfy the law. To do what? Verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law. That was his goal. But it didn't stop there. Did he redeem us? The Bible says he did. The scriptures say he did. He didn't make redemption possible now. Jesus paid it all, the song says. And he did. And he said he did it to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, and when did we become sons, children of God? Before the foundation of the world, according to the scriptures, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That's the new birth. This is one thing I know about anybody for whom Christ died. They're going to, before they take their last breath on this earth, they're going to hear and believe the gospel by the power of God. Somebody said, well, what about infants? That's a different matter. And I'm not going to deal with that this morning. It'll take a whole three or four messages. But I'll tell you what, they're sinners saved by they're sinners saved by grace. And they'll hear the gospel directly from our Lord, I guess. But we can talk about that later on. But here's what I'm saying. If Christ died for my sins, they're going to hear and believe the gospel. And here's the seventh thing. If Christ died for me, God will, without fail, preserve me unto glory and cause me to persevere in the faith. He will not let me go. He will not allow me to forsake him and apostatize from him. Over there in John 6, after he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He goes on to say, this is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. In John chapter 10, he said, I and my Father are one. He said, no man will pluck them out of my Father's hand, his sheep. 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. If Christ died for me, God will without fail preserve me unto glory. Bring me to final glory. There's no way that I can lose it. There's no way that I can give it away. It's something he gave to me and he implanted in my heart, and it'll never go away. If Christ died for me. Now that's what the scripture says. When he talks about I've delivered unto you that which I received. Paul received it from God. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. How that he was buried and that he arose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's what we need to be concerned with. If I claim that Christ died for me, if I claim to be saved, is my claim according to the scriptures? Or is it according to my thoughts, my feelings, or the opinions of others? Where do I go? Go to God's Word. All right.